Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily. Some of the best bits of this afternoon show, which was again live from Cheltenham, day two of the festival, Ladies' Day.
A very lively day, wasn't it?
It was, yeah,
and
yeah.
Talking of Ladies' Day, Georgie Bingham was with us and she gave us a great tip.
Yeah.
But as you'll hear, it led to quite an interesting situation.
It did. Rupert Bell, happy and then sad. You'll discover why.
Then Charlie Baker, of course, has sat in excellently with you now last week. Yeah. He was here. We did a little section with him. He was on good form.
Yeah.
And then right at the end, we had quite an amusing little chat with Paul Jiggins about lookalikes.
We did.
So that was all
we
good.
We played a bit of lookalike cricket.
And I think we're talking about the maintenance man and the fact that I think that might go in there. We'll see.
We'll see. Look, whatever you're listening to, we hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
Good afternoon, Paul. Day two.
How are you feeling? You're feeling a bit throaty.
I think I'll recover. But
so you'll get those very high-pitched pterodactyl-like noises going straight into the microphone.
Very much so,
yeah. Next 4 hours. So keep an eye on the faders, won't you?
Well, people at home haven't got faders.
they might have.
I think very sophisticated
radio. Some of the listeners that really care about radio will have their own mixing desk. It's not people who play on flight simulators, isn't it?
It is, really. Yeah.
You get that, don't you?
Yeah.
A friend of ours is popular, he's a proper pilot.
Yeah.
But you do get people who play, they say, what are you doing for the next 13 hours? They say, oh, I'm going to fly to Kuala Lumpur. And they'll sit there for 13 hours on
really?
A flight simulator.
I've never heard that.
And they'll fly. Even the pilots have a kip. I mean, yeah, they do that. Yeah. So they just put it on autopilot and then go and watch the telly.
I'll go and sit in the back. I'll lie down. I'll be in like club class.
Yeah, I'll be right. Yeah, anyway, it's got nothing to do with racing.
No.
It's cracking. I'll tell you one thing. One thing I've noticed, Andy, very quickly. No one's trying to put a bet on with us. Normally in the old Paddy Power box, it was a lot smaller and people would come over and they just get a big roll of 50s out.
I know, we used to make quite a bit of money.
Because we're sitting here with these headphones, and obviously it's going back to Paddy Power HQ.
Yeah.
But yeah, we would take the bets, didn't we? No, of course we didn't. Of course we didn't.
Of course
but anyway,
that hasn't happened.
So what's happened on day one of the holiday?
Well, before we do, I just want to say I am delighted that racing is on today because of the wind. I was secretly hoping, though, to do a show. I was secretly hoping the racing was going to be off because I had it all planned out, show in our bedroom. And it was going to be like...
It's not our bedroom.
Well,
in my bedroom, it's not Morecambe and Wise. We don't share a bedroom. At least the budget does stretch to a room each.
That's right, just about. And cold shower this morning, but more of that later.
Yeah.
But imagine for me, that's probably not a bad thing.
No.
And basically, I was hoping to do a show in the bedroom, a kind of John and Yoko sit-in.
Yeah.
I thought all the talks will be, but it's not going to happen. And the wind is a very interesting thing. This is typical Cheltenham. When we were here yesterday, John Ketley said to us, 30 to 50 mile an hour winds expected.
Yeah.
Then I was overheard a guy talking. He went, oh, I think it's going to be 50 miles an hour tomorrow. 60 miles an hour, said one bloke. Another bloke said, oh, no, it could be up to 70. By the end of the evening, people say, Tornado Gary.
Hurricane Ruby.
Cheltenham's going to be swept up in a vortex.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so it was getting a bit of traction, but thankfully there's not even a stiff breeze at the moment.
Now,
so,
as we left the course yesterday, we left slightly earlier than we normally do, and we left at prime chucking out time. And it was carnage. So we did a bit of a Peter O'Sullivan game. Let's hear it. It'll tee up the rest of the journey into town.
Okay, and the runners are right in. They're ready at the start for the after-racing Carnage Stakes. And we're off, and we come up to the Guinness Village, and it's a load of people that are going to be absolutely steamingly drunk, including our own Alan Brazil, who's probably gone home about 3 hours ago. I don't even know why he bothers. Over to you, Paul Hawksby.
And this ruddy-faced man who's had too much to drink, ruddy-faced man who's had too much to drink, ruddy-faced man who's had too much to drink, from ruddy-faced man who's had too much to drink, from ruddy-faced man who's had too much to drink. Over to Andy Jacob.
And there are two people there with a sweeping. Two people there with the sweeping, and it's security, security, security. He's escorting a man off, escorting a man. Had far too much, he's had far too much. It's all kicking off, and it's unpleasant, but what can you do? It's always the same. And there's a bloke with a beard that's a bit like well-known England cricketer, but there we go, and more security people coming along. I can't believe what's happening. There's a bloke that looks like Rag and Bone Man, Rag and Bone Man, Rag and Bone Man. I like his new track, it's very nice, with Calvin Harris, and it's over to you, Paul Hawksby.
Hello, mate.
Oh, no, sorry. I've handed it to the wrong bloke. I thought it was you. No, you've got nothing to do with it whatsoever. A man who's got involved and he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's over to you, Paul Hawksby.
Where are we? Oh, yes, yes, it's going past the Bentley showroom. There was a lot of Bentleys today, I wouldn't imagine. A lot of very drunk people kicking off with the stewards. It's Haydock Park all over again. Actually, it's not quite as bad as that. There's a little bit of rain in the air. We've met a fallow pier. There's nobody here. So back to you.
Oh, what happened there? Nearly dropped John's phone. Nearly dropped John's phone. There's a bloke in a black and white shirt. A man dressed as an ice hockey referee. I don't know why he is. It's completely unusual. And there he goes. He's got a puck with him. It's really quite changed. If you're listening in medium wave, that word was puck. And over to you, John Cadogan.
Oh, thanks very much. It's Shouting Man for no reason. From horrible 70s flares. From Stumbling Man. And it's over to you, Paul Hawksby.
There's not much else you can say. It's horrendous.
It's absolute carnage. It always is. And of course, as we come to the... It's a bloke with a really, really, really strange coat. One I've never seen before. It's sort of a check back. It's a raincoat with a beige front. It looks completely peculiar. I wouldn't buy that myself. Bloke with a yellow hat. As they come to the line, it's bloke with a yellow hat from Stumbling Man. And the winner, Stumbling Man.
So there we are.
It was
some 4 hours longer. That was the cross country version of the Peter O'Sullivan game. So we're expecting edited highlights. But anyway, you get the idea of that. It's basically doing a Sir Peter O'Sullivan commentary amongst a lot of drunk people. And it was nice when you turned around and you handed your phone to that bloke. It's a good job he didn't take off with it.
It's the wrong bloke.
You do see what they probably call the Haydock Park suit here quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
The Haydock Park styley. They're the kind of suits that you buy from a number of the online retailers that are. I mean, you were wearing a £35 suit yesterday, but it came from Dave's of Shanghai.
Today's suit, I popped to the local laundry. I gave it a very, very hot wash. It's a wool suit now. It's nice and tight.
It's
now.
Looking
it's
nice.
Really, really.
So then
good.
Those very tight light blue suits that people for £35 they buy the disposable suits they buy for weddings, but a lot of people are wearing them for racing and
very, very nice.
And there was the first real bit of trouble we'd seen. That steward, this guy was very drunk and he kind of pulled him on one side and took him away. They did it really well, actually.
I tell you who are great here, the police. The police are marvellous. Yeah. They're so patient with the punters. And yesterday we had this incident where we're leaving the course and we're all waiting to cross. And, of course, the police have to make sure that both sides are clear and everybody can get across safely. And this woman's going, well, can I just go to the middle? And they're saying, no, love, just stand there. And he's going, well, let me. I just want to stand in the middle of the island and everything. And the policeman wouldn't let her. And she was so cross about it. I was thinking, if we all cross to the middle of this island, there'll be no middle. We'll all be in the road.
That's very profound, that, Andy.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Are you well?
Yeah.
Bit of a déjà vu. I don't see you guys very much because I'm obviously in at weekends during the week.
We only see you once a year at Cheltenham.
Well, a couple more of the bits than that. Normally Christmas party, which I didn't come to this year. But yeah, Cheltenham is always where we bump into each other, which is very nice. I like that a lot.
Oh, yeah. So your system yesterday of nice-looking horses, how's that working out so far today?
Can I point out, I'm not all kittens and rainbow, that I do sit down and I do look at form and I do... Mm. There are some horses I'll back a couple of months out of Cheltenham, even though before you know where they're going. But yesterday, when I didn't get anything in the first race, I noticed that Willie Mullins' horses were all coming in, obviously, because the odds were going a little bit shorter. So I backed Duc de Genevieve in the second. It's a grey.
Because you were the only person who could pronounce it in the whole world.
Well, thank you, obviously. Also a grey horse, and I'm obsessed with greys, having grown up watching Desert Orchid. And then I went to the paddock and I saw a horse called Thus and Them, and it was so beautiful that I backed it, and it came in at 18s. It came in second.
That's
so
amazing.
I basically did the thing that people think girls do, which is say, oh, I mean, that horse is really pretty. I'm going to back that one. I actually did it yesterday, so there we go.
Well, yeah, remember once we were in the Queen's Hotel after racing, and there there was a kind of group of women who'd been racing that day on Ladies' Day, and they said, oh, she's just won £250, and it was because the jockey's silks were the same, looked very similar to her mum's curtains.
That's true.
She'd put like for a fiver, she'd won an absolute fortune. This horse was
she's now a tipster with a national newspaper. She bases it all on curtains.
So that's what we should go with. We see her pouring over this form. What's the point?
I do think, I mean, I came to the races with Tony Hodson, who's a sports journalist that I've known for many years and is a Cheltenham nut. And he did not have a single horse come in yesterday. Even his nap didn't come in, and he was distraught. I mean, distraught. Yeah. And I had three winners in three races yesterday. So I have to say, I did not tip Beware the Bear, but my friend Ant did, luckily, on tech. So I put money on it. So there we go.
Well done. Yeah, we did, thanks to Paul Jacobs here.
The weekend sports breakfast, we're going strength to strength. Very,
very
enjoyable.
Kind of you, thanks.
Great to have Tony back. I know you were delighted and supported him and everything. And I'm not just saying this because you're here, but I do admire, I follow you on Twitter, and you take a lot of stick. And I was speaking to your producer, and he said, Tony can make a statement and it could be wrong and nobody says anything. If you make a statement on the show, all these people tweeting,
piling in, do they?
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
There is definitely a double standard still with women broadcasters, and I do have people who just don't like me because I'm a woman, but I've always thought, I don't really care, because if you're not very enlightened, then you know you're probably not going to feature.
Well, you're not
going
to turn those
list.
People around, are you?
That's no, to be honest, I'm not. I mean, I am super lucky having Cass. Cass is extraordinary. But I mean, a couple of weeks ago when Brendan Rodgers went to Leicester, I said, look, I don't think managers should be allowed. I don't think you should be able to take managers mid-season. Look at the Marco Silva thing with Watford and how much that disrupted their season, even though he didn't go straight away. And look at Celtic. I actually think that it could be a transfer window thing. Now, I said it as a suggestion. And I honestly get pelters like people think that I've just crawled out of a hole and said something really dumb. And
that's
actually,
quite a good idea.
It's not a silly idea, although I think the transfer window would have become more about managers than players, possibly, which might not be quite as fun. But actually, I don't
like
agree
sorry
with...
to leave mid-season, to be honest.
But you could take a manager out of work.
Oh, good.
You just can't steal someone else's manager during the season. I quite like that idea. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then imagine
idea.
The premium managers would go for, like they don't already at
that's
the end
true.
Of the season,
well,
I guess.
That's,
but
that's very
anyway,
true.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that if you just suggest it quite innocently, like, why, maybe we should do this, then... Not everyone loves it.
How's the golf going? Because you are mad about golf, aren't you? And,
it's all right.
Again, you described a hole. This was classic. You're on Twitter. You described a hole where you played really well.
An eagle on a par five.
And all these blokes were steaming and saying, well, it's not really a proper par five. It's only 480.
Do you think they speak like that?
Well, they sounded like they spoke like that, yeah.
You could hear it through the words.
I hit longer than most men, and that upsets most men, actually, which is quite fun. But if you can... I mean, honestly, that's another thing that is quite... I always just find really funny about Twitter. When you say, you know, my four iron goes 200 yards, here's my stats from a game on the range where I've been hitting the same club, and they're like, yeah, it's doctored, it just doesn't happen, you just can't do that, that's like the pros. You're like, yes, I went to those links to make that up. Indeed, well done you. What a miserable day you must be having.
So finally, George, have you got a tip for us, anything you fancy today?
Do you know what, I have to say, I don't have that many tips, but what I can say is Oi the Club Oi is owned by some friends of mine, including Lee Westwood. It's an outsider in the sixth, which will be an absolute bum fight today.
Yeah.
And it's about 28-1. And I also quite like William Henry, which is in the 5-3. So that's, I think, the next race, isn't it? Which is also 28-1. But that's not worth more than a couple of quid each way.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
It's coming to the final. Yeah. Rupert could do live commentary from here.
Oh, please do.
The voice is going again. I'm just trying to totally find out who's winning it.
And, okay. Guy in purple.
The one in purple. It's the one in purple and the one in green and yellow.
Yeah, brilliant commentary.
Yeah. November. Ooh, oh, three nicked it.
Ooh. Who won that one?
William Henry.
No, it wasn't.
I'm afraid it was William Henry.
Oh, no.
Bet that Andy didn't get on.
Oh, that's it.
I'm afraid I think.
It's not good for you, but it's good for the show, Andy, that that's happened.
It's just like me.
You've now got your best served cold, Rupert.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was giving me such goodness. A hard.
It's your fault, Jiggins. You didn't.
Yeah. Oh, bitter and twisted.
No, I'm not unhappy or anything.
28-1, wasn't it?
Oh.
Oh, that was close.
I was going to say, flip it. No, I was going to say, oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, okay.
I'm far too professional to swear on air. No, I was going to say, oh, for goodness sake. I was. Seriously,
was.
I was.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake. I can't believe that. Oh, no.
How much were you going to have on it?
Tenner.
Tenner each way.
Yeah. Oh. So have you seen how close it was as well?
No, it gets up beautifully, Judge Wright.
That was probably about 400, quid or something. 400 quid.
Oh, dear.
No, not that much, Matt. What would it have been, about 300? Oh, would it? Oh, so it was each way. Oh, yeah, sorry. Okay.
Oh, well, never mind. Move on.
Yeah, sure. No,
well,
okay?
Of course. Of course I'm okay. When the fun stops, it never starts.
Oh, so there we are.
There we go. Everyone else will be delighted.
Andy has lost some money.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, lovely to see you.
It's nice to be here.
Are you on the softies today?
I'm on the softies. I've been off it for the whole of March.
Have you really?
Can I say?
I annoyingly feel a lot better for it.
Everybody always
says very disappointing.
That.
Yeah.
Can I say, I very much enjoyed your standing in for me last week, and I thought you were very good. I really enjoyed it. So
Thank you, Andy. It's
well
nice.
Done.
Big shoes to fill.
You were just telling me, though, that you were in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
You asked me how it was, and I said, no. You said you were there 7 years ago with what I thought to be Jared Christmas.
Yeah, the comedian Jared Christmas.
And Peter Shilton.
And Peter Shilton.
Really? Peter Shilton?
Yeah, and amongst others, the lead singer of... Boyzone. Stay Now. Who's that?
I don't know.
E17.
Yeah. And we were doing Total Wipeout.
Yeah. They weren't just there randomly.
Yeah, we
were on a stand
randomly. Yeah. But me and Peter and Jared got knocked out early.
Right? Oh, right. Okay.
Because me and Jared aren't racing snakes. You know, we are slightly larger men.
Yeah.
But as Jared said on the day, he said, well, it's all right. Peter, we did all right. Because Peter's a professional sportsman, you know. So we're out there. I said, yeah, he's 65, Jared.
I thought when you said Peter, because first of all, I thought, I thought he'd gone there to confront Diego Maradona about the hand of God.
Well, I tried to do that once. We tried to get a documentary away years ago, and one of them was going to be Shilts and Maradona together. I think Pete was up for it. Peter said, I'll do it, he said, but... there's something I want to say to Diego. I thought he's going to get him by the throat, isn't he? He's still really angry about it.
It's
like it happened yesterday, isn't it?
We were walking around. Well, because we'd had a few Kilmeth.
That's when Alan drinks them.
Kilmeth.
Yeah.
And
they don't pronounce S's. It's really weird.
We were walking around Argentina. I thought, I'm with Peter Shilton in Argentina. Yeah. I'm going to...
Did people recognise him?
Well, this is the thing. I was going, Peter Shilton, hand of God, nothing. Silence.
Really?
Not even...
Why were you saying it like this? Peter Shilton.
I'd like to have Omid.
If you'd said Mano de Dios, they might have known. If you'd said it in Spanish, they might have known.
Not even the bloke in the Boca region, which is like the big touristy region where you go and do your dancing and that sort of stuff, and it's not too dangerous.
Well, that's not true. But anyway.
The one street you're allowed in the Boca region. Even the bloke who's there dressed as... dressed as Maradona.
Didn't recognise Shields.
Nothing.
He charges 20 pesos, about three quid at the time for a photo with him.
Didn't want a picture with Shields and nothing. I thought, this is it, mate.
That bloke didn't want a picture with Shields.
I didn't know
he was. He spends his whole life as Diego Maradona.
Didn't know
doesn't
he
even
was.
Look like him, really.
Really? He's just a little short, fat bloke.
Short,
with black
fat
curly
bloke. He wears the outfit.
Yeah.
He has got the outfit.
Oh, well, okay.
He looks a bit like him, you know. He's probably one of his sons. Thinking of last week's news.
He's got eight of them.
Now, Charlie, you were saying last week you occasionally popped out. You ever go racing at Newton Abbot?
Yeah, Newton Abbot. Boxing Day. We used to have Boxing Day races at Newton Abbot.
Right.
And that was a brilliant Boxing Day. Mm.
You did you ever work really there? Did you ever?
No,
you never got
never
a job
worked
there waiting
it.
On?
Never worked
in the, lounges.
But then they stopped it. I don't know whether they lost the meeting or something like that. Because right. Boxing Day. But it used to be a brilliant Boxing Day there. But then I used to go Talk United Boxing Day as well. So it's a
yeah. I tell you, talking of Talk United, you've got quite an interesting way of selecting horses for this afternoon's events.
I did in the last race. Yeah, there was the horse, the McGinty. Was it McGinty? McGinty in the last race.
Mm, right.
And we used to have a player called Sean McGinty. I hadn't bet on him, and then I saw he had yellow and blue silks. I thought, this is it.
And you got
it's
him
an omen.
Yeah,
he's the son. Definitely an omen.
He was second for a bit, and then he fell off. So
oh,
so. I do like it, and I do follow the form, but I'm not having a good day.
Well,
so far,
I don't think
I've
got
say.
A feeling nobody is. When a professional punter, five times tipster of the year, says to you, "I'm not actually having a bet till the sixth race," you think
so it's a really difficult day.
Yeah. Is it? There's a lady behind me. Whenever I'm outside watching on the balcony.
Yeah.
Lady keeps coming standing behind me. She's won both races.
Wow. Yeah. And well, quite a lot of the people in the box.
She's probably
today,
using the curtain system.
Apart from top celebrities like yourself.
Yeah.
Are kind of Paddy's. High-ish rollers.
Oh, right, okay.
The people that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so I'd expect quite a lot of people in this room.
I'd like another room of people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're just kind of... But, you know, you can see the quiet confidence when they have a punt. You know, they almost know it's going to win.
They know it's so going to happen. Well, the lady who was behind me, she went... She was saying, "Oh well, I wasn't going to bet on it." And then I saw the jockey on the back, and I saw it. Oh, who's going to win this race? And he went, "There's only one horse going to win this race, and it's the one I'm sitting on." Right? And that
really?
Was, and that was in the first race, City Island.
Does she work for ITV Racing?
Yeah.
She's not got that long microphone, is she?
Why didn't he tell everyone? Because then he came in. Yeah. I didn't even know there was an horse called City Island. When that one came in, I was like, "Where's this one come from?"
Yesterday, I did a classic. Yesterday, I put money on a horse.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, I've won. And when I went to get a check, I put it on the wrong horse. That is utterly ridiculous.
That's brilliant.
That's absolutely
brilliant. The wrong horse would be a good name for a horse.
That's true,
it would
actually.
Be, yeah. They have to be quite careful about naming horses, aren't they?
Because are
they? People attempt the kind of backdoor Bart Simpson type names.
Euphemism.
Yeah,
we've bought a horse, actually. We're calling it Joan Cadogan.
Lovely. Yeah. What a lovely
Joan
idea.
Joan Cadogan.
Because after the show, you and our producer will take to the balcony here post-racing and give us another 20-25 minutes of solid gold podcast on the National League South.
Very niche podcast. But I've been told to be niche with my podcast. It's a national obsession. If you like the National League football, it's called the National Obsession. It's a good fun podcast. We don't take the football side of it too seriously.
No.
Are you going to the big one, Woking versus Torquay?
I thought I was. I literally rang Talk United 300 times.
Wow,
you can see it on my phone if you'd like.
300
for a ticket. Didn't get through till yesterday. Had my daughter. We were on the bus going to Reading, and I was still ringing while we were on the bus. Got through. It's about 11, 10 past 11 yesterday morning. Got through. Hello, Talk United. Oh, hello, yes. I was after some Woking tickets. How many do you want? Oh, just two, please. Brilliant. Yep. You've got the last two. I was like,
wow.
Felt like Charlie Bucket.
That's right? Fantastic.
Fantastic. Great, yeah. Here's my address. Hello.
Oh no.
Hello.
No.
We've gone
no.
in a dip. This is living in the countryside here. Gone in a dip. Gone. Rang them back. Sorry, tickets are gone.
Oh no.
Missed out on the tickets.
That's a sad story.
Can't
that
go.
Is a disaster.
No, but then I think maybe I'm not meant to go.
Yeah.
Because whenever I go and it's a crunch match,
they lose.
I went to Wembley to see us versus Ebbsfleet in the FA Trophy final. Lost that 1-0. Colchester at Wembley, lost that 1-0. Old Trafford versus Stevenage, all these games. We never, ever win when I go.
So keep away.
I've become talky by osmosis through
Yeah, I find myself following their
I look it up, everything. I cut out the little results and everything so we can have a chat about it. And I'm actually, I've applied to be in the press box for that day because I want to see that
game. Are you really?
Yeah, seriously.
Glory hunter.
Yeah, I've just spoken to our head of football, David Walker. He's sorting it out for me.
You're going to go to Woking's not far from you, isn't
it? No, it isn't, actually.
And you're going to report live from the match.
Well, I could do. And I probably wouldn't be.
Love to see.
I probably wouldn't be required, really. Goal at Woking.
Natalie suddenly saying, well, we move away from the top of the Premier League to the Conference South. And a grudge match between Ben Fletcher and John Cardigan. Anyway, we'll see what
I'd have a bet on a couple of red cards in that match. If you're going to have a bet on anything there. Yeah,
Charlie, where can we see you in action doing your comedy thing?
Everywhere, the time. Just come out and see us. Yeah, just come out and see me.
Lovely.
Always all over the place. But yeah, the National Obsession podcast and Q Live. I should mention that as well. I'm the moneymaker, Charlie Baker.
Moneymaker. Well, not today, clearly.
Not so far. Not so far. It's a disaster.
Lovely to see you, Charlie. Cheers. I really enjoyed working with you last week.
Cheers,
and when Andy's next off, who knows when that would be? Surely a suspension can only just be around the corner.
Talk about wishful thinking.
Charlie.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. From TalkSport.
So excited.
Yeah, Andy has suddenly realised he's minted.
You heard the voice there, the golden tones of Paul Jiggins.
Oh, well, Glenn Campbell. Yes. Campbell.
No, I prefer Paul Jiggins.
Okay, yeah.
I talk Glenda and thinking you.
Do you do a cover? Do you do the Jimmy Webb songbook? The Sun Parties or something?
Yes, that's my favourite, of course.
Yeah, Paul Jiggins.
And I just like to say, Andy, I'm well pleased for you.
Yeah. Of course you're not.
I can just hear him in my voice. Yes. Well done.
Yeah. It was bad for Paul because he's doing our column all week for The Sun and he's working with us on it. And he basically, of course, delighted in the fact that the Schadenfreude immediately.
Yeah.
And he filed the copy already.
You had to change
I've had to reshoot.
It's like reporting, isn't it? You never know what might happen in extra time.
Last minute winner.
Typical Chelsea, keep you guessing to the last moment.
Is there a word for it? There should be a word specifically for. There was that fantastic book, The Meaning of the Lift, wasn't it? Douglas Adams and John Lloyd wrote with it. Certain words that mean certain things. And there should be a word for the thing, that face you make when someone tells you they've won on a horse that you weren't on. There should actually be a specific word for that.
There were a few.
Now, Andy, have you got for us?
Well, last night, of course, we had to go to the Queen's. That's one of the great traditions here, the big hotel, centre of Cheltenham. You like the Guinness there.
Nectar. It's like a Dublin pint. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And it is like a little piece of Ireland. I was thinking that they might need a backstop there next year.
Yeah, quite possibly. Yeah, contentious and topical.
If it's in England, wouldn't it be a wicketkeeper?
that's very true.
Even better. We went for a Japanese meal. Yeah. It was interesting, actually, because we went for a lovely meal with lovely people. And that doesn't lead to a lot of material.
No, so you've got nothing from that.
No, I've got a little bit from it. The restaurant, the Kibuk, or as I give it the full name, Kuba Arisa Belaga.
Yeah, that's
it. And the reason that is because the chef refused to leave the kitchen when the shift changed.
Is that right?
Yeah,
he wouldn't
unbelievable.
Leave. He said he was fine to carry on.
He wouldn't move when the numbers for the orders came up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was one good incident, though. They'd invited this other fellow, Norman.
Yeah.
And he came along and he said, we've got a space for someone else. So we sort of shifted up. We were quite tight anyway. We shifted up and we made room for two. And he said, oh, no, there's four of us.
Yeah.
So I gave him short shrift.
And he made himself big, the way you do. I mean, if a referee had been watching, his arms were not in a natural position. And he made it look as if two people
like
struggled.
Like a goose.
Yeah, he did.
Or a peacock.
Out came the old wing. His full plumage came out. And the bloke, he wasn't mass. He kind of saw the funny side.
He did, yeah. Thank goodness.
But he doesn't know quite how irascible and unpleasant you can be, of course. He does now.
I did the ordering for the whole table, which is quite a responsibility.
Well, you've got a Moncler jacket. I mean, we were in very safe hands. Of course. Anybody walks around in one of those should do the ordering in a Japanese.
Well, I've been to Tokyo twice, and I've got a beautiful, Japanese daughter-in-law.
It's like the old Monty Python. She's from Pearly. Say no more. I've been to Japan twice.
I've got a beautiful Japanese daughter-in-law. My son is steeped in Eastern culture, as you know.
Of course he is, yeah.
But I did encourage John to spear the dumplings with his chopsticks.
Don't encourage it. What does that mean? Is that a euphemism?
He was struggling. And I was thinking about this. I don't know if you know about this, Paul, both Pauls, but in China...
because I'm steeped in European history.
Yeah, look at Jiggo.
He's really
East
steeped.
London.
East London culture. Yeah.
The Far East End.
Can you use chopsticks, Paul?
No.
No, can you? Paul, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, John, he couldn't, so not everybody can. And once my wife...
Well, he begged to differ by the look of his
face.
Well,
he had to spear. He couldn't get the gyozas.
Do you like spearing the dumplings, John? Is it a pastime you'll be continuing with?
He's got a T-shirt, spearing the dumpling. Yeah. Actually, that's spearing the dumpling. It's in the next race.
Go on, five for each way, spearing the dumpling.
He'd already put it on.
Yeah, of course he has. He would have forgotten that.
So anyway, my wife was in China, and she got told off by a Chinese person because she did low-class chopstick handling.
Really?
The further you are away from the food, the higher class you are. If you like sort of just nipping down the bottom, like controlling, that's considered very low class.
Really? Yes. I thought, don't you kind of eat, watch some people kind of eat in Chinatown, the bowl's up to the face and they're shoveling it in, aren't
they? Well, you know, fair enough.
Yeah. And maybe it's the sort of places I go to. And it is after chucking out time.
The other story I've got about my wife in Japan was, we were in a restaurant once and she's looking at the menu, and on the menu was horse sashimi. Sashimi is like sushi, but without the rice, but slices.
She's feeling slightly patronised now, but some of this stuff you know.
Well, do you know what sashimi is?
No, but I knew it was in the, I was in the right ballpark, shall we say. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, it's horse.
You'll be asking what dumplings are next.
Raw horse.
Whelks. You know what whelks are? Winkles.
Would you eat raw? Red, would you eat raw horse?
Not raw horse, but I've eaten cooked horse.
Yes. That's a great play.
I should have said
raw horse.
But especially, my wife is under massive pressure because as she's eating this horse, I'm doing Peter O'Sullivan, the 3:30 from Sedgefield. I'm really trying to put her off.
What do they make of that in a Japanese restaurant?
Well, I don't. It was in Japan. They didn't understand
me. Oh, okay, fair enough.
Now, one reason we got Paul in, because our producer, John Cadigan, is very, very good at spotting lookalikes. He's excellent. And we found three last night, and we gave them the...
Play lookalike cricket. We played it a bit in the World Cup. It's basically at a big event like this, you walk around and you see somebody who looks a bit like someone famous, you call it, and you might get a little single, might couple of runs, a four or a big old six if it's an absolute doozy.
And we've got a very good way of getting them on camera. I stand in front of the person looking as if I'm celebrating. John takes a photo of me, but he's moved this lens slightly to the right so he gets the person.
That's
a bit naughty, but that's the way to do it. They don't know you're doing it, and that's fine. But
it's probably illegal, actually. But anyway, move on.
Thanks. And there's somebody waiting for me over there. But we were telling Paul this earlier, and you've got a similar version, haven't you?
Well, not a similar version, but when I walked in, the other conversation came about was because I thought I'd spotted Wendy Richard before I realised she's sadly no longer with us.
But that woman does look like Wendy Richard. I'm going to try 100%. And get her.
Yeah, you know, every time I bump into her, she gets kind of dum, 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 dum.
Yeah, so it was a real duff-duff moment.
Yes, absolutely.
Her,
and then, anyway, was away with the under-21s in 2011 in Denmark, and all the journalists there to pass the time had a form of the lookalike game.
Yeah.
But we did it in percentages, so you'd shout out someone come in the bar and go, someone will say who he looked like or she, and you go 20%, 30%, obviously up to 100% if there was a real dead ringer. So we were in the bar one night in Denmark, and Danny Mills was there commentating for the BBC, and a bloke walks in looking like Thomas Graveson. So I said Thomas Graveson. Danny Mills, who had played with Thomas Graveson at Leeds, went 30%. The bloke comes straight over and went, hello Dan, haven't seen you for ages. It was Thomas Graveson.
And what was the name of the guy?
And then we looked up at the bar, and we were in the bar called Graveson's.
30%.
Yes,
that's excellent. Great. Little did he know. It's Vincent, you mentioned Peter O'Sullivan, and the soundtrack, really, when you walk to Cheltenham, you know you're getting closer, you know you're coming into the course, because the soundtrack in the mornings is old classic racing. You hear that?
It's the disembodied, wonderful voice of Peter O'Sullivan.
And you just hear, and the commentaries. And it struck me that Sir Peter, he was a lovely man. We interviewed him on the show a couple of times when we were at Cheltenham. Yeah. He was great company.
He loved the Calvados, but that's another story.
That's true, it's another story. But it struck me that when he was doing
Japanese dishes, Andy, is it?
No.
When he was doing mundane things, it must have been so difficult for him because he was always, so he'd be, hey, John, cancel the papers. I might as well take a packet of polos while I'm here. Cancel the magazines as well. We're going away for a couple of weeks. Must have been really difficult for him, wasn't it? Yeah. No, it's okay. I don't need a bag. I've got a bag for life. I bought it last. There is a slight hole in it, but that should be fine for the whole life. Must just doing mundane
stuff.
Only
lasts for about 5 minutes.
That's right. I need a cab. Can you pick me up from the whole life? Must have been difficult.
Well, how many times do you think he waited for taxis though? Where people saying, oh, it's that bloke again, making out his Peter O'Sullivan.
Fantastic. He would have made a great taxi controller, wouldn't he? Picking up a job from number 15. It would have been good. Yeah.
Other jobs Peter O'Sullivan could have done.
Yeah.
If only he hadn't been a racing
Just Eat takeaway teaser.
Oh, good.
Should we bring you that? I think we should.
And, I got it right yesterday. Yeah.
It's quite timely because we've got Bayern Munich Liverpool for you tonight on TalkSport. And here it is, the Just Eat takeaway teaser. Who is Bayern Munich's all-time top scorer in the Champions League.
Never played in the Champions League. We'll give you the answer.
I mean, don't necessarily blurt it out. Do you think you know the answer, Paul?
No.
You can have a guess. I won't tell you. No,
don't blurt it out. They've just blurted it out.
it doesn't matter. It's
I know it now.
What did you say?
No, he was wrong.
It's not right, no, yeah. I'm afraid.
There you go. No need. You didn't ruin the whole sponsor.
Hope you've had a good day. Thanks for coming. Yeah. It's like you've won the fridge freezer. Yeah.
Yeah, or as Wilfred Pickles would say, 38-4.
38-4.
Well done.
Yeah, nice reference there. So anything else, Andy, have you noticed?
Oh, yeah. Well,
you've got time.
I probably have. I don't know.
Just a quick one.
Oh, yeah, the wristband situation. When you come to the Paddy Power box, you have to wear...
It's like a festival wristband. Andy's going to keep it and wear it for years.
Well, I couldn't get yesterday's off.
You made it too tight.
I made it too tight and it was starting
It's ridiculous.
It's getting tighter again.
Get
it was really
under.
Cutting into me. And the bloke here, Captain Officious, on the door, he's very, you know, he is.
Yeah. You know. That's us outside again.
Oh, yeah, basically, yeah. I think you may get the full body search tomorrow.
then you'll know what tight really means.
He's not listening.
Having a pop at a door.
He's on the app. He's on the TalkSport app while he's stopping people coming in here.
Yeah.
So I thought, I couldn't get it off. And I thought, I'm going to show him that I couldn't get it off. Because basically, he's seen us about five. We don't need a wristband.
It's a classic Larry David moment. We walked through the door, the bloke couldn't have been nicer. He said, "Hello, gentlemen, good to see you again." And then he said, "Yeah, I've got a bone to pick with you. Look how tight this wristband is." All he did was give him the wristband. It was Andy who put it on like a tourniquet, like he's trying to stem the bleeding. For goodness.
That famous Japanese diplomacy.
I couldn't get it off. They had to bring a chef from the kitchen to cut me loose.
Honestly, you are such a piece of work.
Yeah, I know.
So, but you are 400 quid up.
Well, there you go. That's
money
life.
You didn't even know you had.
That's life, isn't it?
You could get probably a Moncler gilet with that, couldn't you? 400 quid.
They do wristbands.
Yeah, they do.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. We're back to Cheltenham tomorrow. There are more top racing and lots of great guests, and we'll be doing this again, won't we?
A lot of fun. I've no idea where we're going tonight, but it should be fun.
We're not sure where we're eating, where we're watching the football, but that's the adventure.
That is the joy. That is Cheltenham.
Actually, I do know where we're eating. We're going to eat in the Thai, which is where we always eat. Because if we look around for an hour, we can't find anywhere. And Annie says, "Oh, blow it. Let's just go to the Thai." And that's exactly probably what we'll do again.
I would say that's true.
See you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.